Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tearing into a really unusual source. It's a narrative that almost reads like a modern fable called The Chalkboard Doodles That Moved. It's this story about the sudden, very tangible power of imagination, and also, maybe surprisingly, about how quickly you need limits when that power just goes live.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's just about an elementary school classroom on the surface, but it's actually a brilliant sort of conceptual case study.
Okay.
We're going to extract the core lessons here on how that kind of high velocity creative energy shows up, and maybe more importantly, the strategies you need to manage the, you know, the chaos that comes with breakthrough success.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. Our mission today is to look past the sort of whimsical surface and really get what this narrative tells us about creativity, yes, but also responsibility and managing these sudden, powerful ideas. We want to focus on the really memorable details that make these lessons come alive for you.
And the beauty of this source, I think, is how fast it shifts gears, you know, from the totally mundane to the miraculous. We start in a very ordinary place, just a Tuesday morning, Pine Hill Elementary, nothing special.
Right, and the fuse gets lit when the teacher, Mrs. Bloom, she hands the chalk to a kid named Sam. He's just encouraged to draw something, anything really, and he starts simple. Silly dog, floppy ears, you know, giant tongue, pure unburdened creativity.
But the crucial moment, the part where everything changes.
Yeah.
The source notes that the second Sam finished drawing the tail, the dog wiggled.
Wow.
Yeah, this isn't just like an idea in his head anymore. This is physical. It's real. Its ears flopped, tongue wagged, and this is the kicker, it leapt right off the board.
Leapt off the board and immediately starts chasing giggling children. I love that part. The first consequence isn't some great insight. It's just chaos. But, you know, chaos mixed with wonder. It's exciting but totally disruptive.
And what's fascinating here, I think, is how the source immediately frames creativity as this external, almost kinetic force. In like real world terms, this could be the moment your startup idea or maybe a new app hits its, you know, minimum viable stage.
Right. It works, but now what?
Exactly. It's exciting, but it instantly brings in unpredictable user chaos, right? The source makes it clear. Imagination, once it's realized, is inherently kind of magical.
Yeah.
It breaks the normal rules, and you immediately have to deal with where it's going, which might not be where you planned.
So, okay, Sam proves the concept. The dog is real. It's running around. And then the floodgates just open. The source says the kids gasp, but then almost instantly, collaboration takes over. Another kid, Mia, shouts, "Draw more."
Yes. They realize, wait, we can all do this.
It's not just Sam's magic.
Right. And the creation instantly becomes this group effort. The complexity, the chaos, it just scales up exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly the room is full of bouncing doodles. And this is where I think we need to look closely at what they drew, because these aren't random.
They reflect different kinds of creative output.
Precisely. Different types we deal with all the time.
Okay, like what? Well, there's the big visual flashy stuff. The source specifically mentions a chalk rocket. It zoomed across the ceiling, leaving a trail of glittery dust. That's pure spectacle.
Definitely spectacle. Okay. And then you have the boundary breaker.
Mm.
The chalk rainbow that didn't stay on the board. It stretched out and arched across the classroom window.
Mm.
That's an idea refusing to be contained, right?
Yeah, like a project suddenly needing a much bigger scope.
Or maybe forcing you to look beyond your initial market. That's your disruptive pivot, maybe.
Okay, but wait, hold on a sec. We've got the spectacular rocket zooming around, leaving glitter, potentially dangerous, right? Pure spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the narrative also focuses on something much sillier, a chalk banana that just kept slipping across the floor. Why the banana? I mean, isn't the rocket the bigger threat here?
That's actually a doing question, and I think it's where the source gives us a really subtle management lesson. The rocket, see, that's a big, dramatic one-off event. It grabs all the attention, everyone reacts, the crisis is sharp, but maybe temporary.
Okay.
But the banana that represents the low-level, constant annoyance, the organizational friction, maybe, the thing that just wears everyone down slowly.
Okay. Like scope creep?
Yeah.
Or maybe those little unavoidable hazards in a project that just keep tripping you up, distracting you from the main goal?
Exactly like that. The slipping banana is that constant, maybe unnecessary distraction. The small inefficiency that causes tiny delays, but every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, the source uses all these examples, the helpful math pencil, the flashy rocket, the annoying banana, to show that uncontrolled creativity doesn't just show up as productive or dramatically dangerous.
It can also be just inefficiently distracting.
Wildly distracting, yeah. Which confirms why you need balance and direction. It's not just about handling the big explosions. You also have to deal with the constant irritating friction. The banana problem.
Got it. Okay, so the initial fun wears off, the utility peaks, and the chaos, both the rockets and the bananas, starts to threaten the actual learning environment. So Mrs. Bloom has to step in.
Yep, intervention time. She brings the class back to order. The source says she clapped her hands and asked class, what's the rule about doodle magic?
And the kids knew it. They chorused back, don't let it get out of hand.
Which is such a vital detail, I think, for anyone learning from this. It shows the knowledge of the principal responsibility. It was already there before the magic happened.
So the failure wasn't ignorance.
No. It was about applying the rule when things got exciting, maybe too successful. It tells you that your rules, your governance, needs to be ready before your idea takes off. Because that's when you'll need it most.
Right. And here's where the real management piece comes in, isn't it? They had to rein it all back in. The source describes this shared effort, trying to corral the drawings back toward the board. Then they erase them one by one. But it wasn't just wiping them out.
No, it wasn't destruction. It felt more like control, like a structured process.
The de-escalation.
Yeah, kind of ritualized de-escalation. Mm-hmm. And that's why the way each drawing disappears is so important. The text specifically says each drawing gave a little bow before it hopped back into the chalkboard.
Okay, the bow. Why the bow? That seems crucial. I mean, if Mrs. Bloom just grabbed the eraser and scrubbed the board clean, wouldn't the kids feel, I don't know, shut down, punished for being creative?
And that hits the fundamental question, doesn't it? Does quick suppression save the classroom now, but maybe kill off future innovation later? Mrs. Loon's method, making the drawings bow. It feels like it shows respect for the creation itself, even while enforcing the boundary.
So it's not saying your ideas are bad.
Exactly. It's more like your ideas are powerful. So powerful, they need to respect the rules of the space they're in.
So the bow preserves the kids' emotional connection to what they made. It lets them manage the chaos without feeling like the act of creation itself was wrong. And that protects their willingness to try again later, maybe. Sam and Mia won't be scared to draw next time.
Precisely. The source really emphasizes this. The lesson isn't fear imagination. It's balance fun with responsibility. Use that imagination wisely. If she just panicked and scrubbed, the hidden lesson would be big success leads to getting shut down. Fast.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, she teaches him how to manage these dynamic resources, these living ideas.
That difference management versus suppression, that feels like the core strategic takeaway here, especially for anyone dealing with rapid innovation. If you manage an idea respectfully, maybe put it on the shelf carefully.
It can come back later, maybe when you have a better framework, better control. Think about an inventor with some huge, powerful prototype, the rocket, right? That just causes too much trouble initially. You don't smash it. You put it back in the lab, the chalkboard, respectfully. So you can revisit it when you're ready to handle its power.
Okay, so let's zoom out a bit. Let's recap the main lesson here, pulled from that what kids will learn idea in the source.
Yeah, the central finding seems pretty clear. Creativity. It's powerful. It's fun. It can even feel a little magical. But it absolutely requires responsibility. You have to know when and, crucially, how to rein things in. Focus on using that power wisely, not just, you know, enjoying the initial big bang.
Right. And we absolutely cannot finish this without talking about that very last detail. It's quite beautiful, actually. End of the day, board's clean, chaos gone, rule followed, except for one tiny heart. That just winked before fading away.
Yeah. That final image. It adds this necessary nuance, doesn't it? Emotionally, structurally.
Yeah.
Everything external, the spectacle, the chaos, the glitter dust, even the annoying banana, it's all gone. Wiped clean. But this little quiet heart, it lingers for just a moment longer. It feels like the lasting positive emotional residue. It's that feeling of shared success, maybe, or collaborative achievement. That's the bit that sticks with you, even after the project itself disappears or gets shelved.
It's the memory of the fun, the shared effort that lasts. Not the practical problem of the slipping banana. It suggests the most enduring impact isn't the physical thing you made, but maybe the connection. The lesson learned together.
I think that heart is the proof Mrs. Bloom got it right. She managed the output without killing the emotional core of the input. The kids leave with this sense of shared magic, of accomplishment, not the sort of bitterness of being censored. They learn that shared imagination works best when it's, well, balanced and truly shared.
So The value in this whole story really lies in understanding that balance, doesn't it? Between these big, powerful, imaginative ideas and their practical, managed application.
Absolutely. The difference between just a creative flash in the pan and real sustainable innovation, it often comes down to how you handle the fallout, both the rockets and the bananas, and what kind of emotional trace you let linger afterwards.
So thinking about that tiny heart winking out, what does this source suggest about the difference between that temporary shared chaos and those small, quiet bits of magic? The real emotional, the real intellectual lessons that actually stick with us long after a boundary's been tested and hopefully a lesson's been learned. That's maybe something for you to chew on as you navigate the disruptive forces in your own world.
Good thought to end on.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.